Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm Darren McBreen. It is Thursday, December 4th, 2014. And here's a quick look what's coming up.
Tonight, Attorney General Eric Holder promises to end racial profiling. Then, the FBI admits a probe into the death of Michael Hastings. And police celebrate the Eric Garner decision. That's next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Put your hand behind your back.
In the wake of the recent grand jury's decisions not to indict police officers for the murders of Michael Brown in Ferguson and Eric Garner in New York, United States Attorney General Eric Holder has publicly announced that in the coming weeks, the Department of Justice, they plan on ending racial profiling once and for all. They must have a good trick up their sleeve. The DOJ will soon officially unveil the first update in over a decade to the federal rules concerning racial profiling. Holder said that he will announce updated Justice Department guidance regarding profiling by federal law enforcement, which will institute rigorous new standards and robust safeguards to help end racial profiling once and for all. Well, that sounds like a tall order. I can only speculate on how they plan on officially ending racial profiling. Good luck with all that. Eric Holder also mentioned that Barack Obama has assembled a group of law enforcement executives and community leaders. I bet that means Al Sharpton, who will meet to examine the present state of policing. And notice how they continue to make this a black versus white issue to racially divide the nation. Now, there's no doubt in my mind that 46-year-old and father of six, Eric Garner, well, he was brutally murdered by the police for the ridiculous crime of selling cigarettes. I mean, the whole time the guy's sitting there yelling, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe." And it's my opinion that every one of those cops should have been indicted for manslaughter. And I think the tragic death of Eric Garner, if you ask me, he makes a far better example for police brutality than Ferguson's poster child, Michael Brown. But hey, that's just me. But what I can't understand is why people of all color aren't equally as outraged for the, well, for example, for the murder of Kelly Thomas, who was brutally killed by the police in Fullerton, California. His last words were yelling out loud for his dad to come save him while the police basically beat him to death. All charges against the police have been dropped. And then there's the gutless, cold-blooded killing of James Boyd in Albuquerque, which may have even been premeditated, as the Albuquerque police killed him for camping in an unauthorized area of the Sandia foothills. Once again, all officers acquitted on all charges. So police brutality is indeed out of control, but it's not just racial profiling. People of all color are victims of the rise of the police state in America. Now, I thought it was interesting in the case of Eric Garner, the cop who put him in a chokehold and killed him, well, he released an apology to Garner's family. This is Officer Daniel Pantaleo. He says, "It was never my intention to harm anyone, and I feel very bad about the death of Mr. Garner. My family and I include him and his family in our prayers, and I hope that they will accept my personal condolences for their loss." So there you go, a very heartfelt apology from a cold-blooded killer. Here's what Garner's widow had to say in response.
"So Pantaleo, for you and also for a family member, has offered his condolences. Will the family find it in their heart to accept it? Do you accept it?"
"Hell no. The time for remorse would have been when my husband was yelling to breathe. That would have been the time for him to show some type of remorse or some type of care for another human being's life when he was screaming 11 times that he can't breathe. So there's nothing that him or his prayers or anything else would make me feel any different. No, I don't accept his apology. No, I could care less about his condolences. No, I could care less. He's still working. He's still getting a paycheck. He's still feeding his kids. And my husband is 6 feet under, and I'm looking for a way to feed my kids now.
You know, I have to agree with her. I don't blame her for being totally outraged over the inexcusable murder of her husband. And I think we could all back her up on that. But what I don't get is she's not going to get the rest of the country to rally behind her as long as she has Al Sharpton standing next to her everywhere she goes. I mean, this guy's everywhere. He's like, where's Waldo? He's always there to photobomb. He's always there to steal the spotlight from every racial angle he could possibly muster up. Al Sharpton, the FBI informant, ambulance chasing, agent provocateur, and master race baiter. Well, he's there once again. There he is on the scene. And I'm sure Jesse Jackson is probably there too. You know, the usual suspects. And by the way, I forgot to mention that Paul Joseph Watson, he found some comments on a police website, policeone.com, where some police officers have responded to the grand jury's decision not to indict Officer Daniel Pantaleo by celebrating. That's right. These guys are actually excited by all this. And they say that they are now, that they now have free rein to, quote, kick some thug ass. And there are many other comments equally disturbing posted on that site, and that is sure to add fuel to the fire. And I think the police departments in our country, for the most part, have changed their recruiting policies. They no longer want free thinkers. No, they want young officers who follow orders without question. And there's no question that the judicial system in our country is corrupt to the core. I mean, even if the use of deadly force is caught on camera for everyone to see, chances are that the courts will rule in favor of the police. I mean, we've seen it again and again. And the recent arms buildup and militarization of the police is no accident. And it's not about fighting terrorism. It's about controlling you and me, all of us. They want to control the masses. Well, especially now that people are finally starting to wake up. And no better way to control us than to divide and conquer. And this is mostly done through the false left versus right paradigm and through the racial division, as we are witnessing right now by design. The establishment can no longer afford the inconvenience of the Constitution to stand in their way, and they can't afford to have the masses rise up against the corporate state. And that's why you can no longer tell the difference between a military soldier and a police officer who's in full gear. Make no mistake about it, we are all enemies in the eyes of our corrupt government. And like my good friend Larry Pinkney would say, black, white, yellow, brown, and red people of all color, we are the enemy. And we are most dangerous to the establishment through our solidarity. All power to the people. And they don't want us united. They want us divided. And that's why as we fight against each other in what could very well be the next civil war in our country, that's when the police state comes marching in through the rubble to establish order out of chaos. Hey, we're going to take a quick break right now. The InfoWars Nightly News will return right after this, so stick around.
For all of recorded history, civilizations around the world praised the health benefits of silver. At InfoWars Life, our mission is to bring you the highest quality, purest, cleanest, effective colloidal silver on the market today for the lowest price available. You don't have to be a doctor to know. The fall and winter months are the most dangerous time of year in North America when it comes to you and your family's health. InfoWarsLife.com is very excited to announce our biggest run yet of Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver, exclusively available at InfoWarsLife.com. Now InfoWarsLife.com has taken colloidal silver to the next level using a cutting-edge technique that is free of toxic artificial additives. Now more than ever, it's important to stock up on high-quality Silver Bullet from InfoWarsLife.com. And to help others during Christmas by teaching them about the powerful benefits of silver. Secure your silver bullet today at InfoWarsLife.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
The average person's life is filled with unexpected challenges. Unlock the energy it takes to defeat these daily beasts with Super Male or Super Female Vitality, specifically designed to assist the body in regulating proper hormone balance to create superior vitality in males and females. Supercharge and conquer your world at InfoWarsLife.com or call 1-888-253-3139.
Free scream should sound the alarm against those who would destroy freedom. For in its power to deceive and inflame, or enlighten and inspire, the motion picture has no equal.
Believe me, the idea of doing things on my own is very tempting.
This notion that somehow I can just change the laws unilaterally is just not true. We are doing everything we can administratively. There are laws on the books that I have to enforce. There's been a great disservice done to the cause of getting the DREAM Act passed and getting comprehensive immigration passed by perpetrating the notion that somehow by myself I can go and do these things. It's just not true. We live in a democracy. You have to pass bills through the legislature, and then I can sign it. And, if all the attention is focused away from the legislative process, then that is going to lead to a constant dead end.
These last few years, we've seen an unacceptable abuse of power, having a president whose priority is expanding his own power. Any guess on who said that, Mr. Speaker? It was Senator Barack Obama. Here's another one. No law can give Congress a backbone if it refuses to stand up as a co-equal branch. The Constitution made it. Senator Barack Obama. What do we do with a president who can basically change what Congress passed by attaching a letter saying, I don't agree with this part or that part? Senator Barack Obama.
What if the whole purpose of government was to negate freedom? What if freedom was a myth? What if the Constitution meant nothing to the government? What if everything the government has or owns or controls has been stolen?
So wherever and whenever I can go ahead and help families like yours, I've got the legal authority to do it. I'm going to do it.
On the subject of immigration today, later today, we'll have a press conference with some members who are urging the president to act, to use his executive authority, to improve the situation. Because the president not only has the legal authority to act, but all the precedents of presidents before, from Eisenhower, Kennedy, Nixon, you know who most of them before you were born, some of you, but, Nixon, Ford, Carter.
There are actions I have the legal authority to take as president. The same kinds of actions taken by Democratic and Republican presidents before me that will help make our immigration system more fair and more just. Tonight, I'm announcing those actions.
His decision to take unilateral action on immigration, action he himself said exceeded his authority, and makes it harder for the American people and their elected representatives to trust his word on any issue.
What you're not paying attention to is the fact that I just took an action to change the law.
Now, this is an issue not really focusing on immigration, but instead is an issue about how the president is violating the Constitution by imposing his own powers that really reside with Congress.
So we certainly are hopeful that Congress is going to view this as a motivation, you might say, to try to take action finally on common sense, comprehensive immigration reform that'd be good for border security, that'd right. be good for national security.
What I'd like to see the president do is finally acknowledge all of the people that have been killed by illegal aliens. This is not a story about my son. This is a story about over 100,000 people that have been killed since the last amnesty and are getting killed at the rate of 5,000 a year. Most of them, about 60%, are being killed by people that are in the country illegally but have not committed any, what the administration calls, serious crimes.
These borders being wide open, it's not just the people from Mexico and South America who come right across our borders now. There are bigger issues that we need to be worried about. And there's no time spent in jail for most of these felons. In 2013, they released over 36,000, not 300 or 3,000, 36,000 illegals from our jails and detention centers to go back onto our streets and commit more crimes because there is no protocol with the government of how they're handling these criminals.
You told the world that you are going to deport these four people with ties to a terrorist organization. That's not what happened. Two of them were released.
They're in deportation proceedings. An immigration judge released two of the four, and they fled to Canada. My intent is that they be deported, but two of them are in Canada seeking asylum.
Where did these two, where were they anticipated going, and where did they actually go?
I'm not sure of their exact whereabouts, sir.
Mr. Secretary, this is the problem. You come and you say, you tell the world that you're going to deport these four people tied to terror. These are terrorists. And you don't. They get released. They go to, my understanding is, they go to Arizona. They go to the state of Washington. They cross illegally into Canada. They each put up $25,000 bonds. Doesn't that beg a lot of questions about what you're doing in deporting criminals? These people have terrorist ties. And I'm getting tired of the Democrats with this righteous indignation saying that we can't find a Congress we can work with. Well, the first 2 years of the Obama administration, the Democrats had the House, the Senate, and the presidency, and they did nothing on immigration. I sat on the subcommittee. They brought Stephen Colbert in to testify. That's how bad it was.
It is confusing. And it poses a bit of a hypocrisy, I think, to the American people, because then after the election, he reversed his course. After the election, he says that now he does have the legal authority to move forward. And so we don't know, who should we believe? The president before the election who said he didn't have legal authority to take this action? Or the president after the election who says that he does have the authority to take this executive action?
Congressman, what I know is we spent months developing these reforms, and we spent a lot of time with lawyers, very close consultation with lawyers. There were some things that they told us they thought we did not have the legal authority to do, which is reflected in the OLC opinion. And there were things they told us very clearly that we did have the legal authority to do. The analysis was very thoughtful, very time-consuming, and very extensive. And I'm satisfied as a lawyer myself, and the person who has to come here and defend these actions, that what we have done is well within our existing legal authority.
I have no doubt with respect to your integrity, but I think the timing of these statements makes it look more political to me, that this is a political decision rather than a policy decision.
Nearly 20 million Americans woke up this morning either unemployed or underemployed. Now, the president didn't mention these Americans when he announced his plan to grant de facto amnesty and work permits to up to 5 million illegal immigrants. He didn't discuss the competition this would create for them or the impact it would have on their pocketbooks. And your series of memoranda outlining this policy for him didn't mention them either. To address this problem and protect the American worker, I introduced legislation prior to the president's announcement that would make clear that illegal immigrants benefiting from his executive amnesty are not authorized to work in the United States. When it comes to illegal immigration, the conversation is always about the illegal immigrant, not about the people that it'll affect. And you see, Mr. Secretary, I don't think it's fair, especially around the holidays, to put illegal immigrants ahead of the American worker. Secretary Johnson, the president keeps saying that his executive action will boost the economy. So tell me, how will adding at least 5 million new competitors to the workforce make it easier for the unemployed Americans to find a job?
Congressman, the fact is, as I'm sure you know, that we have lots of undocumented in this country working off the books And if that's not apparent, then I suggest you spend some time in a restaurant here in the Washington, D.C. area to see it for yourself. What we want to do is encourage those people to get on the books, and I will provide them a work authorization so that they may legally continue in the...
But how does that make it easier for the American worker? We keep talking about the illegal immigrant. Here we go again, talking about the illegal immigrant and how we can make it easier for them. How does this help the American worker who can't find work and can't provide for his family? Who's fighting for them?
My question for you, Mr. Secretary, is what do you say to someone who believes the president took action to change the law?
We did not change the law. We acted within the law.
Can you play the clip? This is from November 25th. This is the president in Nevada talking about this.
What you're not paying attention to is the fact that I just took an action to change the law.
So you say he didn't change the law, but the president says he changed the law.
We acted within existing law. We acted within our existing legal authority. Listen, I've been a lawyer 30 years. Somebody plays me an 8-word excerpt from a broader speech, I know to be suspicious. Okay?
At one point, he said, I just took action to change the law. Did the president misspeak in a moment of passion to try to calm the crowd? Or does he fundamentally, and do you fundamentally believe, that he has taken action to change the law?
I think he was speaking colloquially.
What you're not paying attention to is the fact that I just took an action to change the law.
DNA Force.
When cells become toxic, they die early and aging sets in.
DNA Force.
No one has put together a formula that focuses directly on brain health, nerve growth factors, and optimizing your cellular energy at the same time. Just one of the key compounds, BioPQQ, is backed by major clinical studies.
DNA Force.
We now have the synergistic solution. Secure your DNA Force today at InfoWarsLife.com or call toll free 888-253-3139.
DNA Force.
Introducing the first proprietary oxygen-based intestinal cleanser, OxyPowder. Backed by FDA-approved phase 1, 2, and 3 clinical trials. All the toxins from the air, the food, the water, ultimately ends up in the gut or affects the gut. Take your health into your own hands and start cleansing your body today with OxyPowder. Secure your OxyPowder today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
Hey, we're going to take a quick sneak peek at an interview that is scheduled to air soon on the InfoWars Nightly News as David Knight interviews former Navy Commander Greg Morse, and they expose the shocking money laundering that is used to fund Black Ops. Let's check it out.
Joining me on the phone tonight is Greg Morse. Now, Greg's a former F-4 Phantom driver for the U.S. Air Force, U.S. Navy, and a lieutenant commander for the U.S. Navy. He was self-employed for 30 years in real estate, all areas of aviation industry as well. And this is key. He was one of a very small group that uncovered the savings and loan crisis in 1985. When we had this massive mortgage pump and dump that happened in the late 2000s, you had some people contact you and ask you if you would look into this. You weren't directly involved because you didn't have a loan that was in default, but they asked you to take a look at this, right?
That's correct. I had a home mortgage, but at that point I was basically retired, David, and the only thing I had was a current note, never late. What we found and have documented on our website, in my singular mortgage, we identified over 1,000 individually documented and legally cited events of either outright fraud or statute and code, state and federal, violations of law.
Okay, now I want to go over the tax fraud issues, the security fraud issues, what's going on in the bankruptcy court. And as I pointed out in the introduction, this is the largest tax fraud case ever. It's the largest security fraud we've ever seen. And, of course, the largest bankruptcy we've ever seen. And this ties into black operations, terrorist events, overthrows of government. We want to get into all that. That's the big picture. But let's take it a little bit at a time. Let's first go to the tax fraud issue. Explain the significance of the fact that you filed a RICO civil lawsuit in three states. What did you do that for?
We filed it because we've had a federal civil pro se, meaning I represent myself, lawsuit filed initially in the Eastern District of Texas Federal District Court. What we have found since we've been at it for almost 3.5 years now, the case has promulgated into being in three different courts in three different states. And as of today, we still have not been allowed to have our first hearing of any kind. Wow. So what they've attempted to do clearly, and it's all on the docket, we can prove every single word we're saying with court entered documents on the court dockets, is that they don't want the evidence, which now exceeds 15,000 pages. They don't want that evidence coming out. So what they've tried to do is to play the shuffle off the Buffalo country boy kick the can routine with us by judges lying, lawyers lying, submitting fraudulent documents. Then we challenge them. They admit on the record that, yes, they did submit fraudulent documents. We're sorry. We didn't think you really wanted us to tell the truth. But now that you're motioning us for sanctions and motions to compel, now we'll give you the real truth. So they've been trying to keep me. In addition to the threats and all the rest of the malarkey that goes with it, they've been attempting to keep this case from coming out into the public. Not because of me. This is not about my case. This is about the fact that we have been able to take what we learned going down that rabbit hole, and we have been able to determine three things. One, it is in fact the largest income tax evasion fraud in recorded history in this country. Second, it is the largest securities fraud in recorded history. And thirdly, a significant percentage, and until we were to under legal auspices or the joint congressional hearing that we're pressing for, got the hard drives of data from the other entities involved, David. I can't give you an exact percentage or dollar amount, but many of the dollars that were stolen from the American public through the mortgage crisis found their way through the Depository Trust and Clearing Corporation in at 55 Water Street in Wall Street. They went from there to the Federal Reserve, then to the Union Bank of Switzerland, and many of those funds have been used to proffer terrorist activities and black ops.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for tonight's broadcast. The InfoWars Nightly News will return, Lord willing, tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time. Until then, have a blessed evening, and we'll see you back right here tomorrow night. Good night. Celebrate the spirit of freedom and liberty upon which our nation was founded at InfoWarsShop.com. Molon Lave is ancient Greek for come and take it. This popular design combines both classic Greek Spartan imagery with modern M16 assault rifles. Now available in women's tees and proudly made in the USA. Celebrate the spirit of 1776 with the George Washington brass belt buckle or this incredibly sharp looking 1776 hat. Badass. And be sure to check out the new arrivals at InfoWars Life, where you can prepare your body to perform at peak levels with Survival Shield, Nascent Iodine, Super Male Vitality, and Fluoride Shield. And wake up, America. Immune Support Blend is the healthy choice for the gourmet coffee lover. So get incredibly high-quality, freedom-based products and help fund the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.